send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, hey, Brady and Walker, 3 o'clock hour. Welcome to it. So tonight may be it. Full circle, right? LeBron James comes back home to his home state and leads the Cleveland Cavaliers to the NBA Finals. Now, they may not win the NBA Finals, but that's not what you were thinking when Steph Curry was on the ground last night for 4 minutes, were you? A year ago, this wasn't even possible. Well, I'll take you through all the swings of direction. Year ago, not possible. LeBron leading the Heat to a 4 straight NBA Finals. Maybe he wants to go to New York. Maybe he can get convinced to go to Texas, to go to one of the teams down there, the Mavs or the Rockets. Big pockets for Mark Cuban. 9 months ago, of course this was going to happen. They'd go to the NBA Finals. He'd sign back. They traded for Kevin Love. Kyrie Irving's another year older. He even got his buddy Mike Miller from Miami, who's playing no role in this playoffs. 6 months ago, it's not looking very likely. They're bad out of the gate. They're a 500 team, in essence, for long stretches through November and December. 3 months ago, it's back to being more certain. 2 weeks ago, wait, not certain. No Kevin Love to start the second round. They're down 2-1 to the Bulls after a Game 3 Derrick Rose buzzer beater, and they needed a buzzer beater of LeBron's own to just tie the series. But they're going there now. So we'll ask the question, is this a successful Cleveland Cavaliers season regardless? Because you know, kids, irregardless is not a word. Regardless of what they do against Golden State, remember this, Michael Jordan made 6 of 13 finals with the Chicago Bulls. We won't count his Wizards years against him, the Fat Jordan years. I won't hold that against him. LeBron's in his 12th year in the NBA and is about to make the same amount of finals. So it's okay to compare them.
Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Our 3 o'clock hour, welcome back. It is Brady and Walker on your Tuesday. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady, just an hour to go on our show. And then we're off to the Rogers Center for Brady's first appearance there this year. Very excited. We're going to be down in the seats, catching foul balls, eating hot dogs.
I'm going
to
go
eating hot dogs to each other.
I got a two-a-day to finish. I'm going to finish working out. We had a meeting before the show. God knows I hate meetings. And we had a workout.
They usually go really well for us.
But then I wasn't sweating at 1:01 p.m. also, which was a real positive for the listeners. I'm hearing from a lot of female listeners that like the glistened look.
Oh,
they really are.
So gross.
I mean, they might say the camera adds 10 pounds, but the sweat as well is a good, like, people want to see me towel off.
It's really the smell that throws me off in the
studio
here.
Sorry about that. Just smells like soap.
Okay, so we don't like to do obvious predictable radio topics. And I'll admit,
well, take your call. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? 416-870.
And I'll
what
admit,
about steroids and baseball?
The GOAT comparison, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James, sometimes can fit into one of those categories. But it's never been more prevalent. And I'm kind of with you. And I think you gotta go back and almost solicit your emotions a little bit during the time that Jordan was at his best. And now, because I will say this about Michael Jordan. When we watched him at his very best in the mid-90s, they had great teams, but I would say they went through some unbelievable teams that I don't know if they're as well populated in the NBA today. Certainly not in the Eastern Conference where LeBron James plays. That said, I don't think Michael Jordan ever took a team to the finals quite like LeBron did the first time with Cleveland.
Oh, no.
And
no.
And this year. This year might be LeBron's crowning achievement.
Yeah.
Right? No, like, even you remember when he first came to Cleveland in this offseason, and there was that big piece in SI or whatever, and LeBron said things to the extent of, listen, we're not ready to play yet. And it's me, and it's Dion Waiters, and it's Varejao, and it's Tristan Thompson. And so then they trade Andrew Wiggins, and everyone knew they were going to be good. Everyone knew the East was a little soft. But all of a sudden, Kevin Love goes down and Waiters is traded. This team doesn't, they have to bring in Mozgov. This team does not look.
Shumpert wasn't here at the start of the year. Dellavedova was a non-factor, just going to fill out the roster and play a few minutes and sporadically.
As important as Kyrie Irving has been, LeBron James, like, let's be honest, it's been a get on my back.
Yeah.
And Jordan never did that, but we never had the opportunity to see him do that.
If you're
either.
Kevin Love and watching this, you're a pending free agent potentially with Kevin Love.
I rolled my eyes when you said this the first time. I'm believing it more and more now.
Which part?
What you're about to say.
Oh, okay. Kevin Love's a pending free agent. Is Kevin Love watching this, all this develop, going, this is helping me, my status in the league, or this is hurting my status in the league?
Kevin Love looks useless right now.
More useless than he would have otherwise.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't, and never mind the fact there's no previous resume. This isn't going out and adding a Paul Pierce is an obvious example because he just torched Toronto and you know did his best to do it to Atlanta too. But Kevin Love didn't have a resume. Like he has never played a playoff game.
Right.
He's never. I know it's the Western Conference, but for 6-7 years in Minnesota, they haven't had a sniff of an important game. We talk about meaningful baseball games in September. Kevin Love, before this season, had never played a meaningful basketball game in March. Never.
Put it this way. And
it's hard to hold that all against him.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. If you're a fan of the Toronto Raptors, and I'm not saying Kevin Love is the type of player they need, but hey, free agency is exciting. If you are the Toronto Raptors, are you more likely to be putting in phone calls to Kevin Love now after seeing the Cavaliers do what they do, and you take Kevin Love out, and they're exactly the same, if not more successful? They might be a better team.
It's pipe dreaming, but are you more interested in a LaMarcus Aldridge that's 2 years older than Kevin Love?
Yes, absolutely.
I am too.
Yeah.
God, okay, good. I am too. So, but the LeBron thing's kind of fascinating because the team has changed around so much. So Kendrick Perkins says this yesterday about the Jordan thing. And yes, he's on his team right now. Here's his quote. The only thing he's missing is a couple more championships. Then it's a wrap. Right now, we have arguably the best player to ever play the game. I'm just saying, I'm not taking anything away from Jordan, but all LeBron is missing is titles. A couple of more titles, and that's it. And you said it earlier, some of the teams they beat, I don't know that they beat a great, undeniable team, and the cap wasn't as much of a factor. You could keep superstars together for longer. If anything, players were lost to expansion teams as much as anything when the league started to grow in the late 80s, early 90s. But I'm trying to think of a great, put it this way, if LeBron could win this title with Cleveland, with a Kyrie Irving that's suffering from tendonitis every damn night, and I'm not knocking Kyrie, he's had a great season, no Kevin Love, and you're getting help from Mozgov, you're getting great help from the Canadian Tristan Thompson, if they can beat Golden State without home advantage and with a healthy Steph Curry,
it's one of the most unlikely, amazing, single-handed titles ever.
What is it not? It's probably his greatest achievement as a basketball player. It may be the greatest achievement ever by any basketball player because I never looked at a Jordan series, and maybe you didn't either. So a couple against Utah, the Sonics were a very good team in 96 with Glove and Sean Kemp.
And that was 3-0, and then the Sonics come back and make it 3-2.
I can't think of a team where I'm like, oh, well, the Bulls might lose this. Maybe it would have been the 91 Lakers. Maybe. Portland had been to the finals 2 years earlier, too, in 92. But I can't think of a team where I was like, oh, boy, the Bulls are in trouble here. It never happened.
No, neither can I. But that's what made, I mean, that's where we get this greatest of all time. It's not like, oh, my God, can you believe what Jordan did? It was, he was so good and they were so good that they weren't challenged.
But would you?
I still feel that, like, you look back at, hey, look at all the teams that couldn't win. The great Knicks teams, the great Pacers teams.
Oh, yeah.
That Sonics team, Malone and Stockton in Utah. Those teams could never, ever, ever get over the hump because they're standing in the way. The Suns had great teams back then.
They were a good team. Sure they were. Yeah, Barkley and Marley and Kevin and KJ. Yeah,
sure, but it was all this battle for second. It was all this battle for second place.
Do you think the Miami win already happened over the Spurs 2 years ago? I mean, they got decimated in the rematch last year. Decimated. I didn't see that coming. But the win with the Ray Allen shot, extending game six, et cetera.
Then LeBron 3, yeah.
So is that a more crowning achievement of a title than any of Jordan's titles? I don't know that they ever beat a team that good because that team that they beat came back the next year and pounded them. There was never There was never a chance. To me, like, again, watching that in 98, you're going, well, no, Utah's not winning this series. They might be cute, make it interesting, and they'll do their thing. And they might win a game or two, but you know, in Salt Lake, they're not going to beat the Chicago Bulls with Jordan, Pippen, and at that time, Rodman.
Jordan coming back and winning his fourth was just as impressive.
It was incredibly dramatic, yeah. Yeah, but I don't know that there's ever been a final. And even the year before, like, they remember a lot of people looked at Miami losing to Dallas the year before and looked at Oklahoma City, and it was a chic thing, man, to pick Oklahoma City to win that final. People love the look of that team. And with James Harden on that team too, right? Steph Alosha was playing a role. A lot of people loved that group. Miami was 46-20 in the regular season, and Oklahoma City won the first game by 11 points. I forgot all about that. Miami then took them to the shed the next four.
I might be more convinced, and especially, I mean, talk to me after Cleveland makes the final and maybe even wins. But I feel that at the end of this, there's not a lot of convincing. Like, if you are a Jordan guy, it's going to be tough to come off that. And if you are new school and maybe you don't remember the best of Jordan, but LeBron is your guy, I feel like there's no wrong answer.
I guess so. I thought that about the quarterback debate, though, with Tom Brady. And then I feel like this year a lot of people flip-flopped a little bit on where we were with Brady v. Manning, maybe even Brady versus Montana. Well, and if Tom Brady, regardless of what's happened in the offseason, if Tom Brady wins a fifth Super Bowl in one of the next 2 years, I don't know what are people going to do to prop Montana up. Hey, listen, it seems like you got to run the one guy down to bring the other guy up. I love watching LeBron so much more than I ever loved watching Michael Jordan. I think he's a better passer. I think he's a less selfish player. He can play any of the positions. Jordan can't be a four. He doesn't want to be a four. He just wants to shoot and dunk.
Maybe.
He doesn't want to play power forward.
Maybe I look back at it with too much romanticism, but
I know. And that can happen at a lot of different times. So, of course, Game 6 tonight. It's on CBC, 8 o'clock start. We're very pleased to welcome in from MSG, part of the broadcast team tonight, of course. It's Game 6, chance to take it back to the Garden for Game 7 on Friday night. Dave Maloney's kind enough to join us on Brady and Walker. Dave, thanks for taking the time. It's great to have you back on.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, guys, from sunny, warm, humid Tampa for Game 6.
It's probably humid everywhere. We looked at we had Kelly Rudy on earlier, and we asked him from a goalie's perspective how much is on Lundqvist tonight, but you don't even give it a second thought in elimination games. You just always feel, you've seen it time after time after time, Dave, you're going to get the very best Henrik Lundqvist when the team's against the back. It's not a cliche, it's actually a fact.
Yeah, there's no question. I think it's certainly well documented that the franchise records for games in this situation have been established during the reign of Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, the question's been asked, is there anything different about him? And really there isn't. And at this particular point, as a matter of fact, this team is just bound and determined to go about their business, and it starts with the guy in goal. There's no change in demeanor. There's no, as a matter of fact, the biggest change, it wasn't even demeanor. It was just his reaction after game four, as giving up the goal he did to Kucherov, that was a little out of character. But he rebounded, or I'm sorry, after game three. He certainly rebounded to be Henrik once again. So I think you could make the case there are four goalies still standing, and the one guy you basically know what you're getting every night is the guy that's playing in goal tonight for Rangers.
Tell us about Marty St. Louis. No one's taken away, you know, what he's accomplished. What a career. What an amazing story. He didn't even have a bad year, 52 points in a year that scoring was down, but he has one goal in 17 playoff games. Is this just, he's run into a tough stretch, or are we just beginning to see a father time type of thing, which, hey, it happens when you're 39?
Yeah, I mean, that's, reality for all of us who have had a chance to play comes at some point. For some of us, it comes a little quicker than we thought. For others, it comes a little later than you probably thought. And for those that are Hall of Fame players, I'm almost bagged that it's difficult when it comes towards the end. Now you're talking a life, really, of overcoming for Marty an awful lot of odds that certainly I'm not sure anybody saw it in the picture that he, because his, you know, his career was really well established in the old game, let alone when the game changed in 2005.
Sure, yeah.
So there's an awful lot of things that Marty has done and accomplished in his career, and yet it does. It comes to an end for everyone. If it didn't, we'd all play forever. And I think that might be the reality that we're seeing here now. There was a thought, I thought when he scored in game four, then he had three brilliant chances, confident chances after, and didn't score again, which was okay. Then, okay, now you get into game five, and could that be the leg into what Rangers need from or would like to see and what he would like to see from this game? It really wasn't there in game five. Now, it wasn't an awful lot there, you know, around him either, but there's no question. I think it's the reality of the business. It ends for some guys sooner and other guys later, and Marty St. Louis is a first ballot for me Hall of Fame player.
Played over a decade in the NHL. Dave Maloney, our guest from MSG. Game six tonight is in Tampa, Rangers and the Lightning. We talked a lot about Steven Stamkos in the first series. People would call us. We'd have guests on. They'd say, I don't know, he looks hurt. And we didn't think so. We thought that was the great job Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg were doing. He clearly isn't hurt in this series. What can the Rangers do, if anything, not getting last change with Vigneault against Cooper to just limit his effectiveness? Because even when he's not scoring, he's creating.
Yeah, you know what? I'm certainly not taking. This is the first time I've had a chance to watch another great player up close and personal over a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And what I've been impressed with him is he has a bit of a mean streak. His compete level is good. I mean, that there's no question he's a goal scorer. There's no question, you know, he skates well. But I'll tell you, he doesn't take a backward step when it comes to getting involved. And I also think that being said, his backup, his support staff, when it comes to offense in this team, is pretty significant. So from a matchup standpoint, and all the great ones, right, they seem to be in the right place at the right time or get the goal that their team needs and things like that. So you can throw that all into the story of Steven Stamkos that this has not really been a matchup series for a number of fronts. I think there are an awful lot of weapons from Tampa. And I also think, too, with the 7D and 11 forwards, John Cooper's allowed to kind of mix around and move people around in this lineup. So there have been a number of factors. I think that the matchups haven't been as crucial, and a couple of reasons out of the depth of Tampa and the 11 forwards. But make no mistake, he is an impressive player, Steven Stamkos.
Yeah. Dave Maloney, our guest, talking Rangers, Lightning, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. It's interesting because you know, in order to build a winner, you got to draft, you got to develop. And then you sprinkle in the odd free agent, and that's what Tampa's done, and they've hit on a couple, right? Philpott looks like maybe the best free agent of the class 2 years ago, and this year it was Strahlman, and he was a guy that was playing for the Rangers last year. Is there any element of surprise to you that Strahlman has been as strong as he was in the year previous?
No, none whatsoever. He may have been. The Rangers' back end got banged up a little bit last year over the course of 80 games, and he played them all, 82 games. And he might have been the Rangers' most consistent defenseman from game one. Where did they open? They opened in Phoenix a year ago when Saul was there. It's a game five when they lost to the Kings in the Stanley Cup Finals. The you know, budgets being what they are and the economy of different franchises being what they were or are, the Rangers couldn't afford to get, you know, to pay Anton Strahlman, which what he got. And I think everybody now believes that he got what he deserved as far as how valuable he is. There's no, I have not been surprised. I have to kind of chuckle a little bit when he showed up with the Rangers. John Tortorella was the coach. And I remember Tort saying, I don't know who he is, and I don't like what I see. And it wasn't very long after that, oh, well, there's a bit of a game here, and it's getting better. And So he's a good man, a good player, and he's been an important part of what's gone on here in Tampa.
That quote, you've been in broadcasting a long time, so have we. That quote, everybody hears that from their boss eventually. That's, you know, that can be a new boss, it can be an old boss. I don't know him very well, and I don't like what I see or hear. It depends on which way you're looking at it.
Yeah. Hey. Hopefully we can all live to tell a tale beyond the boss.
Hey, enjoy tonight, and we certainly know for Rangers fans, there'd be nothing like Friday night trying to get back and repeat as conference champions. We wish you the best tonight. Thanks for this, Dave.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I look forward to it. You can't get 7 until you get 6. So nope. The Rangers are looking to do that tonight.
Takes 4 to win. Dave Maloney joining us on Brady and Walker. Game 6 tonight, 8 o'clock, CBC. Game 7 is not Thursday. It would be Friday. They'll take an extra day to settle this. Who knows when the Stanley Cup final starts? I think they're looking at Monday, but I don't know that for sure. Do you want people to know or not? If I knew something, would you want to know?
No. You know what?
Just wake up every day and see if there's a game tonight.
Again, you are more excited for when game 2 is going to be than you are for game 6 tonight.
I would like to see the schedule and map it out and see who it favors. Totally.
One thing that I picked up from that, he said, without a doubt, Martin St. Louis, first ballot Hall of Famer. 90 points in 105 playoff games, 391 goals, and 1,033 points in 1,134 regular season games. Yeah. A cup, an Art Ross, a heart. Some Lady Bings in there, but who cares?
I care.
Do you go past the numbers with a guy like St. Louis? Because you kind of have to, right? Because you got to be.
Yeah, I think
you're
do
looking
have
at 500 goals and 1,000 points. Do you look at the stature, the road, the
all right,
how he's weighted behind?
I don't think I did this with you, but if I said you have only one guy can fit as a first ballot guy, and who's to say if they'll retire at the same time? Marty St. Louis and Jerome McGinley. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, I think people might have slanted McGinley, and I don't know how you would put McGinley there ahead of St. Louis, and especially if he plays in another Cup final, especially if he does.
It's still McGinley for me. McGinley has,
but tell me it's close.
It's close.
It's incredibly close.
I have a lot of respect for Martin St. Louis, but Jerome McGinley also has 500 goals and.
Yeah.
1,200 points or whatever it is.
Okay, so we saw today a 1-year extension for Ken Hitchcock.
Yeah.
He signs a deal in St. Louis. He's been there 4 years. His last 22 playoff games, the Blues have lost 16 of them. It has been, April's been a horrific time of year to be a St. Louis Blues fan, to be perfectly honest, despite seasons where they're just reeling off points, couple division banner. But any surprise by this? Does this mean with Ken Hitchcock there is the Blues are still not coming back with the same? And it's an impressive group. We all know what their core is, and their core is incredibly strong and impressive. And Tarasenko broke out this year.
Sure.
Major injuries to their key guys.
I'm a little surprised in the sense of there's something really heavy about a 1-year deal for a guy like Ken Hitchcock. Hell, even Randy Carlyle here got a longer term deal. Why? So you don't have that lame duck type of idea hanging over a guy. What this says to me is, because listen, we know Ken Hitchcock's going to the Hall of Fame. We know he's a great head coach. What this says to me is St. Louis is always, like, St. Louis isn't even where San Jose was a few years ago in the sense there's the Sharks, playoff disappointments year after year. We're getting there with St. Louis. In fact, we're really close to that.
Ship's landed to me.
But it's still not with the same vitriol people rolled their eyes and chuckled with.
Well, because the Sharks would make it further. But the Blues have been this. Everyone, and I've heard people say, oh, the Blues, they get such a tough draw. And look who they have to. They're going to keep getting that draw. Right with Chicago and Nashville, Minnesota, being better in their division.
But I think this says that ship has landed. Like, now you have a lame duck Ken Hitchcock. This is it. Like, this is it for St. Louis.
So you did this with Montreal. We got about a minute here before best and worst. We moved best and worst around today. So you said with Montreal, no. You isolate their core.
Montreal's not making big changes.
Right. So you say these are the core. These are the guys you're moving forward with Pacioretty, Galchenyuk, Subban, et cetera, Price. If I said to you offhand, take St. Louis's core, give me 5 guys, and you're rolling with those 5 guys no matter what. Because they got 9 guys you could probably pick the 5 guys from that everybody likes.
I don't think St. Louis is guaranteed to go forward with the exact same core. There's 2 guys here. There's Pietrangelo, and there's Tarasenko. And I would...
I Everybody else,
well,
is,
I'm not
is
saying
movable.
I'm not saying they're interchangeable, but I think that like Oshie, I don't think he's guaranteed to be a Blue for the next 6 years. I don't think
Backus.
I love those players, but I think St. Louis would make those changes if like this year is all in,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If St. Louis doesn't go three rounds this coming season, everyone's up for grabs. I mean, I don't think Shattenkirk's going anywhere either, but with Backus, Steen.
What do you do for a goalie?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to keep asking that until they get it right.
We'll see. Yeah, who knows? Maybe next year Jake Allen turns into Braden Holtby. I don't know.
All right, let's do best and worst from last night in sports.
Best.
Justin Smoke.
And worst.
Smoking.
With Brady and
Walker.
That's
just not even, that's like, he tried to make that a compound word. It's not.
No,
it never has been. We've
given the voice guy a lot of heat, but he just proved he's very socially conscious. A very good message today.
What if you think someone of the opposite sex is smoking? That's
smoking
not worse.
Bad.
Yeah, but there's different ways to use the word.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Think about it.
Yeah. No, I think you mean smoking cigarettes, correct?
All right, so
yeah.
Best player, worst player, best win, worst loss. We'll keep explaining it until we get it right. There's no prizes. There's no phone calls.
Can you win anything?
Can't text,
how does it
don't
work?
Text in. So let me give best player to Ryan Kesler. Canucks fans will probably hate that. I think the Canucks fans want to see the Blackhawks come back and win this series.
Nope.
Just for Ryan Kesler to be miserable. I really do think
Canucks fans hate the Hawks.
There's more hate for Kesler now than there is for the entire Hawks organization. There's a mutual respect between the Canucks and Hawks now, I feel like. Yes? Maybe?
Shaking my head.
Kesler
no.
was one goal and assist last night.
He was really good.
Was excellent. He's been excellent. And you know, knock on wood, he stays healthy for a Stanley Cup final if he gets there for his own sake. Worst player?
I feel bad doing this. I'm going to give it to Freddie Anderson of the Anaheim Ducks. He really struggled last night, and he is very fortunate, very, very fortunate that Matt Beleski scores in overtime after a terrible non-dumping by Brian Bickle. Because if he does not score, it might define Freddie Anderson. Like, I'm not overstating it. Sometimes a bad goal in a crucial situation like that was. Just ask Tommy Salo, just ask Marc-Andre Fleury or Chris Osgood or Dan Clouche. It can haunt you for a long, long time. That was a brutal goal, the third brutal goal of the night on Freddie Anderson. Now, I feel bad because I think he has been a top three revelation in this Stanley Cup playoffs. I think Freddie Anderson's been great. I think Anaheim has their guy. But that was not pretty last night. He owes Matt Beleski a steak.
Let's give the worst loss to the Boston Red Sox last night. They lose 8-2 in Minnesota, 7-2, excuse me, in Minnesota at Target Field. I feel differently about Target Field since Target Canada closed up shop, by the way. It used to be one of my favorite stadiums. I have to drop it now. You didn't give the experiment long enough. I was there every Saturday. What do you people want? But things aren't going well with Boston. Once again, Ricky Nolasco dominated. I mean, I can't see real good. Is that Ricky Nolasco or is that Dave Stewart?
We got a resume in here.
What's that? So, not going
Mike,
well for
Mike
the Red
Pelfrey
Sox.
Goes tonight. This is smoke and mirrors to the Twins. Are you kidding
me?
Best win. I'll give it to the Orioles. I think we know how good Dallas Keuchel is, and the Orioles beat him last night. So Keuchel gives up two home runs for the first time in over a year. It was Steve Pierce with the game-winning shot. Orioles win 4-3. That's a big win for them.
By the way, tomorrow on the show, we should update whether we want to. We're really hoping someone loses 20 games in the major leagues this year. Don't ask us why. It's just our thing, but we'll update it tomorrow.
I want a 20-game loser. First time since Mike Maroff.
It's enthralled about 8 of our listeners and viewers, and it's really annoyed one guy. Why are you talking about wins and losses? They don't mean anything. We know. We just want to see somebody get 20. It hasn't happened.
Well, losses mean
since
something.
Since 2003. Yeah, you can tell who's doing well and who isn't. But we need somebody to end up with 9 by the end of the month.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. Is Gallardo still your guy?
Yeah, no, he's got 6 now. Andrew Kashner in San Diego has 7, but he's a 2.89 ERA.
He's too good.
He's like last year's Jeff Samardzija.
My guy was Kyle Loesch. I took him like 3 weeks ago with 4. He still has 4 losses. So
Michael Sam was introduced to the world, or reintroduced to some, by the Montreal Alouettes today. We'll let you hear what he had to say and what we have to say about his impact. Eric Smith will join us as well, radio voice of the Toronto Raptors, and 2 more things. It's Brady Walker. That's coming up next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More Brady and Walker. On your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, so what is this?
I'm just confused. That sounds like Green Day. Doesn't it?
Yeah,
doesn't it sound like Green Day, Ben?
Isn't this the song you wanted?
There it is. Now I hear it.
Oh, yeah, this sounds more like your style.
God, how can you...
I have a concert announcement to make.
How can you like this era? I don't understand.
I have a personal announcement and a concert announcement.
Okay.
I'll be attending the Morris Day and the Time concert June 19th.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm worried this is a... Oh, it better be a nighttime show. It's part of the Toronto Jazz Fest. What do you... hate jazz? They're not really jazz. But they're playing Nathan Phillips Square on June 19th.
You're going to wear that goofy white coat. You're going to be in the front row sipping your Perrier. Awful.
Flapping my arms. So, can I just tell the Nathan Phillips Square story really quick? It's not embarrassing. I just think it's interesting.
All right. Go ahead.
So I say to my friend Steve here, I say,
I'm a relatively new Torontonian.
You've lived... Okay.
I don't know the names of everything.
You've lived downtown 2 years. Close to 2 years now. And I say, guess what? You don't care, but guess what? Morris Day and the Time are going to play at June 19th.
Great. Never heard of them. Don't care.
Not done yet. At Nathan Phillips Square. And you say to me, where's that? And I just say...
Well, isn't there like a Nathan Phillips Arena in Atlanta?
I don't know. No, there's a Phillips Arena. That's named after the screwdriver company.
Whatever.
That's not named after Nathan Phillips. Anyway, I'll take it. It's at the corner. And then you're like, well, where is it? And I can't even name the street. I just know where it is.
Yes, yeah, so that's worse
on
you.
But it's at Bay and Queen.
Right,
everybody knows where. And
so
you
said,
go, oh, where the skating rink is.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where it is.
I'm not going to this free concert of a lousy band.
I'll buy you
charge.
Six drinks.
All right, I'm in.
Okay, fine. See you there. Reasonable sum.
And I'll take you to your first ever Blue Jays game tonight.
I am in. I am officially ready to go. So Michael Sam was introduced to folks today. He's going to play defensive end for the Montreal Alouettes, right? It's a 3-week preseason. It's a couple of preseason games. No one thinks he's getting cut from the team. He'd have to be terrible.
No,
have a
you
terrible
know what?
Camp to get cut.
Yes, he'd have to be legit, and he's an import.
That's not a nice thing to say. there is a rule, though. There's a rule with imports. Of course, I'm forgetting this.
I don't... And here's the thing, because everyone kind of pretends to be an expert or whatever. I'd like to see him play, right? I'd like to see him play in the preseason, and I hope he plays well, and I hope he makes the team. And I hope if he plays lousy, he doesn't make the team.
Do you find... and I like that, because the thought is he should be good enough to play. I hope this is a slam dunk of a huge thing. I guess there's already odds that he'll be named CFL Rookie of the Year, like on gambling websites. Now,
right.
I'm
officially rooting for Michael Sam.
Yes.
You know my only... Okay, do you want me to
Let's hear a couple quotes from him first. We'll play the first two that we've got, and then, yes, you tell me what your thought is here. So this is Michael Sam.
Jackie Robinson. Yeah. I mean, I think African Americans who look at Jackie Robinson to breaking barriers with the race, but I'm just here to play football. I'm not trying to really do anything historic here by being with Montreal. I'm just trying to help the team win some games so we can bring the Grey Cup back home.
I think that's great that he said that. I once remember seeing on Leafs TV, as well documented, because I went on about a half-hour yelling spill. This guy's a good person, but Adnan Virk once called Nazem Kadri the Jackie Robinson of the NHL because he's a Muslim. And I bristled at that. I'm like, you know what? I don't think he's going to deal with quite the same amount of resistance that Jackie Robinson had to deal with. Like, let's not get carried away here. It's 2009.
Right.
And it's Toronto. I just thought that was the most ignorant thing I've ever seen on television. And Adnan is great, so I was surprised he said that. What do you make of that comment, first of all?
With the Nazem Kadri?
No. Someone's going to say, yes, you're blazing a trail here. He does realize that he's special. He does realize that he has a sphere of influence here, and I have no doubt in my mind that that's going to get used for positive means. I did bristle a little bit, as I said to you last week, when he went to the Rams camp, and it's like, oh, and by the way, there's a reality TV crew
and he pulled the plug on that.
Yeah. And that was the smart thing to do.
That was the smart thing.
Wasn't a good first decision.
Yeah, he also said today he's not here to inspire others. He just wants to play football. And it's, I think, and is it completely fair to Michael Sam? No, probably not, because not everybody wants to carry the weight of an entire cause and be the first. It's not easy. It won't be easy, right? I don't know if Michael Sam will ever be able to get to the point where he is literally just another guy. It doesn't quite happen that way. And I do have a pet peeve. It has nothing to do with Michael Sam, but it's everybody that, like, you can't pretend here. Right, you can't sit back and be like, "No, listen, I'm just going to refer to him as Michael Sam, a defensive end, and there's no difference." Yes, in a perfect world, we're going to get there. And you know what? For the second guy that comes out and wants to play professional football, it's going to be a little smaller of a story. It's going to be a little quieter, and so on and so forth, and so forth. But for Michael Sam, whether he regrets being the face of something or not, he is. Right? And that's what he is. And it's always going to be Michael.
You're the first of anything. You have to carry that distinction.
He's blazing a trail.
Very
he
well.
Is.
It's only so many people get to be president of the United States, but Barack Obama knew this wasn't any ordinary presidency. This wasn't any ordinary campaign. His speech wasn't any ordinary speech on the night of the election when he beat John McCain. Michael Sam also saying he expects to be treated like any other rookie and just like in the NFL.
Went to the NFL and in that locker room, they didn't see me as a gay football player. They saw me as the rookie, and they treated me like a rookie. And I'm gonna be a rookie on Montreal, the Alouettes. So I'm gonna be a rookie coming in, and they will treat me like a rookie. I'm assuming.
Here's what I hope nobody picks on him for. So two things. He said, I'd never been to Canada before yesterday. Well, that's okay. That's, you know, there's many states I've never been to. And the other thing is simply somebody would say, well, what do you know about the league before? Well, why does it matter? He doesn't have to know the history, the heritage, or anything.
Well, did they say it like that for you?
I'm sure there's somebody out there that you're tweeting it like that. Hey, who's this guy taking jobs? No, nothing like that. But you nailed it. I don't think he's going to pretend it's not a story. And you know, Arash Madani tweeted he was still doing one-on-one interviews and given being very gracious and accessible at this time. And you know what? Four games into the season, he probably doesn't want to talk about what it's like to be a gay football player.
Yep.
Maybe he wants to just be a football player. And that's okay, too, because he's already done what he's done.
But he's probably still going to have to talk about it because you are the first and you are blazing a trail. And he's a hero. You know, for sure. But it comes to the territory, though, right? I'm just saying, if you're out there saying, there's no difference, and I'm not going to pay any special attention to him, well, you're kind of lying.
Yeah.
It's an important thing.
And you're missing out on a big part of the story. So just to set up what we've got tonight, Sportsnet 1 has White Sox, Blue Jays. They'll follow that up with Tigers, A's. Oh, can we go somewhere and watch that game after White Sox, since we're actually at the first game together with beverages and
stuff?
Well,
I'm sure you have a PVR at home. So you can.
So then on Sportsnet, it's Oshawa, Kelowna. They'll take each other on in the Memorial Cup. And we've got, of course, Rangers, Tampa, CBC. Our friend Eric Smith, the radio voice of the Toronto Raptors, is
a tough offseason.
This couldn't have been easy. But he had a beautiful day. The humidity could factor in. Sometimes it's not the heat. Eric's out raising money for spina bifida and the Hydrophallus Association of Ontario by participating in the 10th annual 100-hole challenge. And he's kind enough to let us mention a great charity and a great cause, and also let us see if he's on like 62nd hole right now. Eric, thanks for coming on.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you are ridiculously prophetic. I just finished my 65th hole.
I was close.
So
yeah.
We're right in that wheelhouse. I got about an hour and a half left. I don't know if I'm going to get to 100, but I'm trying like hell to.
Anything hurt?
What do you mean you don't know if you're going to get to 100?
Well, I'm trying to get to 100, but, you know, if dinner starts and the bar opens, that takes priority. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're really committed to the cause.
The money already came in. It's all good.
and what's the play been like? Has it been slow play? Is it are we scrambling? Are you playing every hole? Or is it scotch two ball? What are you doing?
I'm trying to jump to whatever hole is open. So if I drive up to a hole and somebody's on it, I move on to the next one. It's a pretty loose format. And I'll tell you, like, if I can shill for 20 seconds, guys, I'm throwing it out to you and anybody listening right now. If you want to come out and join us next year, it's a fantastic format. There's less than 75 golfers on the course, so there's plenty of space for everybody, and we'd welcome having as many people as possible to help, you know, just raise awareness, let alone raise money. And it's just a fun day, fun format, and even for the folks that don't golf very often or feel like they're not great golfers or have barely ever picked up a club in their life, this is the day to come, because there's little to no competition. It's an open course with very little pressure, and it's a chance to work on your game, let alone try and get in the holes and raise money and awareness.
Yeah, he's raised over a grand. Both Andrew and I are going to donate at the second the show ends, unless there's something else, unless we have another meeting to go to. And then at that point, we'll pass it on to our listeners via Twitter to do this. I think you should have to walk the course, though. I don't think you should have a power cart today.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, I actually had, and I will preface this by saying I told the organizers to not do this because they did it last year. But then I showed up, and I have a personalized, like, Hummer golf cart,
which
is ridiculously gaudy, and it has a sound system and everything. And about 10 minutes ago, my bag went flying off the back. So I figured, you know, it's typical, like, prank. Somebody pulled on me to undo the strap.
Oh, that's bad form.
The thing, like, fell apart. Like, the cart, the whole contraption that holds the cart on, like, the bracket just fell off the cart. So I wasn't around a marshal or anything. I'm trying to convince him, and the guy was kind of giving me stink, I think, and like I was off-roading or something, and I broke their Hummer golf cart. So I'm now in just a regular cart, but I'm hoping there's not a bill coming in a couple of hours.
So 100 holes, you're basically looking at five and a third rounds. Do you just play it like you normally would? Are you like running? Are you taking practice swings? Do you putt out, or do you try to cut some time off here and there?
All good questions, Andrew. All five of them.
You don't have to play all in order. You can play holes multiple times. And you can tee off more than one ball on the same hole as long as you play out each ball thoroughly. You can't just, like, tee off five and then say, oh, I'll just take the best drive and then drop it on the green and
right.
say, oh, I played five.
You know what? I'm sorry I asked.
It's not that difficult, Andrew. It's really not that difficult.
It wasn't.
I come from the West, but this is pretty basic math.
I didn't think it was. All right. Well, all the best out there. We'll have you drop in soon to see us, we hope. And we'll make that donation and get the link out for folks. It's a very important cause. Thanks for
all
doing
right,
this.
Fellas.
There he is, Eric Smith. All right, we got time to do maybe one and a half more things when all is said and done. How about that? Yeah.
I actually really like yours, so I want you.
Okay.
You do yours first because I think it's really good.
There's a pitching machine.
No, the other one.
What? Which one?
The one you had written down. I laughed out loud.
Oh, God. I think I can do it.
Okay, I'll do the pitch. So there's a pitching machine in Japan.
I got to save the one for tomorrow. It's not time sensitive.
Pitching machine in Japan is throwing at 143 miles per hour. There's a wall of fame if you actually make contact with this pitch. And, jeez, look at that. Like, it can't even go straight. And another if you hit a home run.
It's rising when you get in there. Like, what would it take to get in there? Like, I won't even want to lay a bunt down. It might shatter your wrists. Anybody gets in there with a wooden bat, they're insane.
143. Like, what's the fastest recorded pitch in the, like, 102, maybe?
Has to be.
Chapman, 103?
Has to be. See, there's the myth that softball guy, that king in his court, you know, back in the 70s, could throw a softball 120 miles an hour.
Like, that's not accurate.
Jenny Finch voodoo stuff. I don't know. I'm going to leave that story about the British pub for tomorrow. You will want to.
It drives me crazy.
They might bleep it out on TV, but it'll end up being great. Everyone have yourselves.
It's a rooster. It's a rooster. They're not going to blank it out.
Giving it away. Sort of. It's a nickname for a rooster.
See you tomorrow.
Everyone have a great night.